Welcome to WGWG.org. I'm Nikki Bliss Carroll, and I am joined in the studio today by Dr. Anna Hamrick. Anna serves as the Anna Assistant Professor of Nursing and the Director of the Family Nurse Practitioner Program here at Gardner-Webb University. Anna, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
And I hope it's okay. I just jumped in and started calling you Anna. I might should call you Dr. Hamrick.
It's okay.
Tell me what you prefer, and we'll go from there.
Anna will be fine.
Okay,
thank you.
Perfect. Well, we actually asked Dr. Anna Hamrick to join us for a little bit of information about a week that is coming up, November 13th through the 19th, and it is the American Association of Nurse Practitioners does National Nurse Practitioner Week every for a week in November each year,
yes.
And we're wanting to learn a little bit more about nurse practitioners, the career, you know, who are the folks that are actually interested in this type of program, and a little more about the program here at Gardner-Webb. So we're just going to kind of jump in.
Okay. All right. Great.
We talked a little bit about in here in the studio a few minutes ago about the primary care component of what nurse practitioners provide to a community. Can you explain to the audience a little bit about the types of things that a nurse practitioner does and then sort of the education that leads up to being able to be a nurse practitioner?
Okay, all right. So nurse practitioners are registered nurses that have at least a bachelor's degree, and then they choose to go on and pursue a graduate degree, be it a master's or a doctoral level degree. So most of our students have 6+ years of education and training by the time that they enter the workforce as a nurse practitioner. Nurse practitioner is additional license and approval to practice, and a majority of nurse practitioner programs are training for primary care. We do see some specialty practices after graduation, but majority are going into primary care, and we see that that's very important in the healthcare climate of the United States right now, where over 20 million people have now had access to care mm-hmm. by being able to be insured. And the increase in the number of people that have access to care puts a burden on our healthcare system. Mm-hmm. There's not enough providers. So we see that nurse practitioners are really in a good place to be able to provide primary care to the individuals. And we're really excited that in the Gardner-Webb program, we started in 2013, and we've graduated 66 nurse practitioner students. That's in two cohorts, and a large majority of those graduates are staying in our local community. Wow. They're nurses that have worked in our community. They're raising their families here. They've worked in our local healthcare systems, mm-hmm. and they're staying here to provide primary care services to the residents. We have a large number in Cleveland County, Rutherford County, and then in the upstate of South Carolina, a large number in Gaffney and Spartanburg, Greenville area. So we're really excited that our graduates are staying local to provide primary care to the residents of this region.
Absolutely. Now, here in North Carolina, you had explained to us that a nurse practitioner actually works under the advisement, or I don't know exactly what the terminology is, of a medical doctor. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah. So North Carolina is a collaborative practice state, which means for approval to practice as a nurse practitioner in North Carolina, nurse practitioners have a collaborating relationship with a physician. Nurse practitioners do not have to be on site with a physician. So if I wanted to be an entrepreneur and open up my own practice as a nurse practitioner, I could meet and build a relationship with a collaborating physician. They would be available for access for questions, but I could provide care to my patients independently and reach out if I needed to collaborate with a physician. Mm-hmm. There are 21 states in the United States that have authorized full practice authority for nurse practitioners, and that legislation has come forward in North Carolina, and it's got good momentum. Mm-hmm. Of course, there were a lot of challenges in the legislature this year, and that didn't get all the way pushed through, but mm-hmm. We are optimistic that full practice authority will happen. Really, the goal for full practice authority is an increased access for patients, especially in the rural communities. Often we see physicians, once they're graduating residency, they're being attracted to the more urban areas and more to the specialty care. And nurse practitioners often want to practice in those rural communities with the vulnerable populations that they, they go to church with, they've worked with in the hospital mm-hmm. setting. And We are very optimistic that full practice authority will happen in North Carolina to increase access to care for patients.
Right. And that's something that would help the Gardner-Webb program, I would imagine, because students would be able to come in and kind of know, like, when I live here, I actually have the ability to go in and open a private practice for myself if I want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, actually, they can do that right now. They do need to have that collaborating physician relationship.
Right.
But some of the red tape and the sometimes it's a financial burden to have that collaborating physician agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the documentation, those issues do add another layer of burden that's not quite necessary. And it's been proven in the data that's coming out of the states with full practice authority that, you know, nurse practitioners are highly effective. They're providing high quality, cost efficient care mm-hmm. to patients. And we're hopeful that that can continue in North Carolina. It's already being proven, but some of that added legislation and regulation could be removed.
Absolutely. So explain a little bit, if you can. I know here at Gardner-Webb, we have the Physician Assistant Studies Program, mm-hmm. and we have the Family Nurse Practitioner Program, mm-hmm. which is a piece of the Master of Science in Nursing curriculum.
Yes.
They get to kind of choose which concentration mm-hmm. they would like. For someone like me that might get confused between the two or go to a practice where there's both, there's a PA and an FMP,
uh-huh.
what's the difference and what are some of the things that an FMP can do or that a PA can do that don't necessarily cross over?
Okay. So I'm definitely not the expert in the PA side of it, but I do have a fairly good working knowledge of the PA program. I had an opportunity to be guest lecturer in that program, and we work really well together. I'm pleased Gardner-Webb made a great investment with increasing the number of primary care providers in this community.
Mm-hmm.
So I say a PA and a nurse practitioner is whatever the state legislator says you are.
Right.
So each state is a little different in what our scope of practice is. But really the biggest difference in physician assistant and nurse practitioner is the journey or the pathway in which you get there. Nurses, as I mentioned earlier, you have to be a registered nurse. You have to have a bachelor's degree in nursing. And for Gardner-Webb, we do require that they have 2 years of practice mm-hmm. as an RN before they are able to come into our program. So they've been at the bedside. They've had that interaction with the patient. They've got a good working knowledge of pharmacology and just the healthcare system in general. Then they come into our program. Our nurse practitioner program is an 8-semester program, so that goes over 3 years. And the minimum requirement for clinical hours for nurse practitioner programs is 500 clinical hours, and we are above that. By the time our students graduate, they have at least 630 clinical hours, mm-hmm. and those are precepted clinical hours. So they're graduating, again, with 6-plus years of education and clinical background, and then eligible for certification, mm-hmm. testing, and approval to practice. Physician assistants, they typically come in with a background, a bachelor's degree in a wide variety, mm-hmm. A lot you see in chemistry and biology, the mm-hmm. sciences, and then they have to have an immersion experience or clinical hours, then apply to PA school. Their PA program is 2 years, a little over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, you know, you have a PA and a nurse practitioner. And in North Carolina, our scope of practice is pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
So the end product is fairly similar. It's just that pathway or that journey to which they got, educational difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I would probably be someone that I wouldn't, without a lot of extra nursing specific classes, not be an ideal candidate for the FNP program, but it's possible that someone like me could do the PA program with the right kind of prereqs and that kind of thing.
That's correct.
Probably
That's correct.
Faster
yeah.
is what I'm guessing.
And there are a lot of streamlined programs. So Gardner-Webb is getting ready to kick off our accelerated BSN program.
Oh, wow.
That's not what I came to talk to you about today, but that is an exciting option that's mm-hmm. getting ready to start in our Hunt School of Nursing.
Mm-hmm.
It's for individuals that have a bachelor's degree mm-hmm. and are interested in becoming a nurse. They can do the accelerated bachelor's of science in nursing and become eligible for licensure as a registered nurse. So if I don't know your
Someone
credentials,
like me,
but if you
yeah.
have a bachelor's degree in sociology and you want to be a nurse, you could do this 18-month program, become a have a bachelor's degree in nursing, become a registered nurse, and then if you wanted to continue on for nurse practitioner after you completed that, that's an option.
That's exciting to know that.
That's probably in the summer of 17.
Probably. My family's probably thinking, what are you thinking? You don't even like to put a Band-Aid on you. What are you talking about? But no.
It's not right for everyone.
No, exactly. Do you see a lot of people doing that kind of midway through a career, adjusting course and saying, you know, I really feel a call towards this profession and kind of jumping in, you know, kind of halfway through their professional career into a different area?
I would say the majority of our students that we attract into family nurse practitioner have been practicing nurses, again, for at least 2 years, and it's probably been a career goal for them for a long time. But we do see those that are transitioning. We've had quite a few from the manufacturing industry, from the banking industry that say, you know, it's time for a career change, and they'll switch over into nursing. And then, you know, eventually they may think about a graduate degree in nurse practitioner. As for nurse practitioner, primarily we're attracting students that have been registered nurses for a couple of years, and this has been on their career path.
Right. So we talked a little bit about the Affordable Care Act and how that sort of flooded the marketplace with people who really had never had access to the primary care. And I mean, by primary care, I don't know if, I'm hoping that most people do understand that that's sort of like the annual physical and access to medications when you get sick and those types of things. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about what primary care kind of generally is defined as and how the nurse practitioner profession meets those needs?
Okay. So one of the large components of a family nurse practitioner program is health promotion and disease prevention. And that's where it's really important that individuals seek out primary care and have established relationships with provider for screening and catching, you know, hopefully preventing, but catching disease processes early before there's a great burden of the disease. And we do know that individuals that don't have insurance historically have accessed care when it's too late or the disease has been really progressive. And we know that a lot of individuals sought care at locations that weren't really appropriate. We had a lot of individuals that were using emergency rooms as primary care, and the system of care is just not designed for primary care in an emergency room. So with the increase in access and the increase in coverage with insurance, individuals can establish that relationship with a primary care provider. A lot of times it is a nurse practitioner. Build that relationship, have yearly maintenance, you know, getting your cholesterol checked every year, females getting their mammograms, colonoscopies, getting those screening tests so that we can pick up on disease early or hopefully with lifestyle modification even prevent disease. And that's really the importance of primary care. Specialty care is very important too, but if we can do health promotion and prevention, that's really key to you know, the health of our country.
Exactly. And how, is there a way, and you may not know this being on the education and clinical administration side, but how are they measuring the impact of people having access to more primary care? I mean, are there ways to kind of say, yes, this is how the nurse practitioners and other careers like this are helping make a difference for these populations that don't traditionally have great access to medical care?
Yeah. So one of the, there was multiple dimensions to the Affordable Care Act, and again, no expert on that. One of the main goals of that was to look at the quality indicators, the quality, what really is quality healthcare, and healthcare providers, physicians, nurse practitioners, and physicians assistants were moving to a model of away from pay for pay for service, fee for service, where if I order a large number of tests, then I'm reimbursed for a large number of tests. But we're moving to a model where you're paid for quality and you're paid for. One of the measures in diabetes care is hemoglobin A1C, which is a measurement, kind of loosely looking back over somebody's blood sugar regulation over the past 3 months. If we can have a group of patients that has A1Cs in a therapeutic range, that's suggesting that we're providing more quality care. However, there are a lot of factors, and there's a lot of pushback in that because this is provider recommendations and provider prescribing, but there's a lot of a lot of power that lays with the individual patient mm-hmm. in access to medications, mm-hmm. access to exercise and to care and to healthy foods and, mm-hmm. and lifestyle changes. So there is a movement towards quality indicators to pay for providers.
Right. And I know the insurance industry has a huge piece of interest in the way this whole puzzle shakes out.
Yeah.
Do you see the insurance industry as working with nurse practitioners and not against?
Yeah. So Medicare is one of the largest insurance providers mm-hmm. for the population, and nurse practitioners are credentialed with Medicare just as physicians. So as a provider, I have billing numbers for mm-hmm. a variety of Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cigna, Medicare, Medicaid, mm-hmm. and so nurse practitioners are recognized by the insurers just as a physician would be. There are some barriers to the way that Medicare reimburses nurse practitioners. Mm-hmm. Nurse practitioners are paid at 85% of the Medicare allowable. So that means if you see a physician and a physician bills this amount, Medicare would pay that physician at 100% of that mm-hmm. allowable, mm-hmm. and nurse practitioners would only be, and physician's assistants are only reimbursed at 85% of
for
that
the same
allowable.
Service.
For the same service, yeah. Yes. And that's a big challenge and barrier mm-hmm. to care.
And I'm sure they're pocketing that 15% because they like to make money.
Yeah, well.
that was a little jab.
Well, government. That's yeah. Medicare rule.
Oh, that was Medicare. Well, that sounds right, too.
Yes.
Well, I think this has just been great information. I know we've just barely skimmed the surface. Is there anything that you would like to share that references either the Garden Web program or the nurse practitioner career in general that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, I just want to remind our audience that nurse practitioners are trained, especially family nurse practitioners, are trained for the lifespan. From birth to older adults, we're training students to provide care across the continuum. Mm. And nurse practitioners are trained to assess, diagnose, treat, prescribe, and monitor individuals. So I think that's a common misconception mm-hmm. or just maybe a misunderstanding that nurse practitioners are eligible to provide primary care services right. and they can diagnose and treat and prescribe. And in all 50 states, nurse practitioners have prescriptive authority. So that's a very important thing to remember about nurse practitioner care. I'm really excited and pleased about the Family Nurse Practitioner Program at Gardner-Webb. We are in a state-of-the-art facility. Yeah. Gardner-Webb was able to acquire the former Crawley Hospital and has transitioned that into the College of Health mm-hmm. Sciences. And there's just some dynamic things going on over there, and we're really excited to be a part of that. Our family nurse practitioner program is a hybrid program, so we really work and hopefully meet the needs of our working students. Our nurse practitioner students are maintaining their careers. We draw from all over North and South Carolina. We've had one student from Kentucky.
Wow.
And they come to campus 4 to 6 times a semester, typically on Fridays and or Saturdays mm-hmm. for their on-campus courses, and then the rest is online. So it is a flexible program to mm-hmm. meet the needs of the students, but to make sure that we are training high-quality healthcare providers.
I think that's a great point. Some of the delivery options yeah. for the curriculum is just incredible.
Yeah.
And if you were to share just a couple of things with a nurse who might be listening to this, who's sort of on the border, maybe thinking about this as an extension of their nursing career, mm-hmm. And they're kind of trying to decide between schools, kind of what's your message to that person and kind of what direction would they need to go to kind of get connected and learn more about the program?
Okay. So I feel like a big part of the nursing profession is relationships. And I think that's something that we do very well at Gardner-Webb is to build relationships with our students and care about the individuals. We have high ethical and moral standards, professionals that are high quality, effective care providers, but we care for those individuals. And I think that our graduates would speak to the professors and the relationships that they've been able to build while they're at Gardner-Webb. And they're not just a number here. We know their names. We check on them at their clinical sites. Just last week, I made what I called an East Coast tour, where I went to Raleigh, Rockingham, and to Pinehurst to check on our students at their clinical sites, meet our preceptors, thank our preceptors mm-hmm. for providing this wonderful service to our students and to our university. So I think relationships and the strong bonds that they have with their professors, as well as their colleagues. I often say to them, look around your classroom. This is your group of colleagues. These are your network and your folks that you can pick up the phone and call one day and say, hey, I remember that you were really good at kidney things. Mm-hmm. Help me remember what I need to do in this situation. So yeah. It's strong relationship building.
That's awesome. It's so true, too, because when we discuss and talk with people who've been through the programs, specifically the nursing program at the Hunt School of Nursing here at Gardner-Webb, that's what they say, is my professors cared about me. They still pour into me. I haven't been in the classroom in years, and I still reach out. And so there is definitely, it's not just a while you're here kind of relationship. It continues on. That's so right. We definitely hear that.
We graduated our first cohort in May of 2015, and I hear from many of those students often, and actually I'm excited when I get to go in and, you know, for my annual checkup and see a lot of those working in offices mm-hmm. where I seek care and mm-hmm. have an opportunity. I maintain my clinical practice as a nurse practitioner one day a week with hospice and palliative care and actually get to work with a couple of our graduates as mm-hmm. colleagues now.
That's awesome.
So these are folks that I feel confident in seeking care from and folks that I see that I'm confident in providing care beside.
That's awesome. 222,000 nurse practitioners licensed in the United States, and at least a few more coming through Gardner-Webb here in the next year.
That's right. I love it.
That's awesome. Dr. Anna Hamrick, the director of the Family Nurse Practitioner Program here at Gardner-Webb and assistant professor of nursing, thank you so much for being here and talking to us about this amazing career.
Thank you for having me.
For WGWG, I'm Nikki Bliss Carroll.